City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
How quickly does Fan Friday come about? The weeks just fly by. Let's say good morning to Mickey and Jay. Hiya, chaps.
Morning, gents.
Morning, boys.
I always think Jay's like on the moon or something. There was like a 2-second delay with Jay. Like he's abroad or something. He's just weighing it up. Morning, Jay.
Morning.
There we go. Let's kick it off. I tell you what, talking about delays, Everton's pre-season. You're finally getting a game under your belt, Mickey. Goodness me. Barnsley tomorrow. First time you can see an Everton side under Ronald Koeman. That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It is, mate. Definitely. You know, it's you know, be nice to sort of, you know, to kick the season off as such, but it does seem slow, mate, this year, you know, don't it, with games. I know they've had a little bit of a training exercise over in Austria, but they have, you know, they have been sort of slow on the uptake with games and obviously transfers as well. So, you know, hopefully we might see a bit of action on and off the pitch, especially with Walshy coming in as our director of football.
Yeah, very, very different to Liverpool. Liverpool have got four under the belt already, Jay. Four clean sheets. And I know they're, you know, their teams like Fleetwood, Wigan, etc. But, you know, it's still impressive. Four clean sheets, goals and signings as well. It's quite the opposite to Everton at the moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously it's always good, isn't it, to get a couple of games under your belt. And it's all about fitness, isn't it, in pre-season. And yeah, it's a chance to see a couple of the new boys as well fitting in and see how they're moulded into with the squad mates and all that. So, you know, it is good to see. And now they've gone to America, haven't they? And there'll be more high intensity over there, won't it? And you're playing a better calibre of opposition when you consider we're playing AC Milan and Chelsea and Roma. So, you know, it's all good, isn't it? It's all geared up for that game against Arsenal away from home at the opening day of the season.
Yeah, it all looks good. I suppose you saw Shamal George in goal. Outfield the other day at Huddersfield when he was brought on as a striker. And of course, he was put in a rather sort of awkward position for quite a period of time. It was a bit bizarre, wasn't it, Jay?
Well, yeah. You know, obviously, fifth choice striker, now ahead of Benteke and Balotelli as well. So
he's ahead of Balotelli.
But no, it was just one of them situations, wasn't it, where Lucas went off injured and we'd used up all our subs. And I thought it was a bit strange, though, really, because it's a pre-season game and the last thing you want is to be playing with 10 men and there's no real need for it, is there, in a pre-season fixture. We should have been allowed, really, to bring another player on. But, you know, as it turned out, we had to have the second-choice goalkeeper on the night. He had to come on and be an outfield player. And it was just laughable, really, wasn't it? But, you know, as I say, it's all about fitness levels. And I know we've won four games there and it's great to keep clean sheets and it's good for Karius as well, isn't it, to keep four clean sheets. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the results matter nothing, really. It's all about the fitness levels gearing up at the start of the season.
Yeah, and talking about keepers being outfield players, do you know the name George Wood, Mickey?
George Wood was a goalie in the 70s for
Everton goalkeeper. And yeah. Preno in the Echo today has written a nice piece about him playing in Harry Catrick's testimonial at 1978. Everton led an All-Stars team 1-0 at half-time. So they decided to liven it up and they put him on in the second half up front, Georgie Wood, and he ended up scoring four goals alongside Latchford.
Going back into the archives, that, but I think he was a Scottish goalkeeper that we had going back, as you say, early 70s.
There you go. Keepers can play outfield. Let's talk about transfers. What do you want to see done quickly? All of a sudden, Everton being linked with different names now, Mickey. It's not the initial Witzels and Wan-Matas. They've almost been pushed to one side, these names.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about it, is that it's all right having a few quid, which, you know, we've got now, but getting the players in is a different ballgame when you haven't got, you know, European football to offer. So the only thing you can offer is big wages. And we are now, as I say, I think hopefully, you know, with Steve Walsh coming in as our director of football, he'll have identified some players maybe that he was going to, you know, look at maybe taking to Leicester. So hopefully now they can sort of piggyback in off Steve Walsh and hopefully, mate, you know, start making a few signings, because it's important, you know, this time of year, not only to get them in, but you want to get them integrated with the squad, you want to get them familiar with the surroundings and, you know, sort of getting used to, you know, playing, you know, the Everton-style football. So it's really important that we start doing business now. But I think, obviously, with Steve Walsh coming in now, I think hopefully we'll start seeing a few come through the door.
It's really interesting how there's so much focus on someone like Steve Walsh, isn't there? I mean, everyone's really keen to know, to understand the man himself, what he's going to do, his impression, his involvement with the football club. It seems like we know more about him than we would have ever known about a top scout or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it's because of such the impressive CV that he's coming with. You know, if you think about what he's brought in, you know, he's brought in the likes of Mahrez and Kante, and, you know, I think he identified Vardy when he was up at Fleetwood. You know, that's a big reputation to sort of carry in. And I think as well that, you know, he's known for not sort of spending big money, which is going to be interesting to see how that goes, because obviously now I think we're going to have to sort of pay a few quid to get the you know, the decent players in. I think we've been recently just linked with the lad from Newcastle, haven't we, Sissoko, but we're talking 35 million, which is, you know, mental money. But unfortunately, I think we've said before, haven't we, you know, we're going to have to pay it now. It's not worth squabbling over. If we don't pay it, someone else will. So we've got to identify whatever player it is and pay whatever it is and get them in, you know, as soon as possible for me.
That's the way it goes. I was talking before, Jay, with Steve Hoare. He was in here, a football writer, and we were both saying, well, we'd love the quick fix at Liverpool. We'd love them to go out and spend 70, 80 million on a, you know, a real showpiece, stellar signing. Be more than happy for the club to do that, but that's not really the club's way at Liverpool. They've got their own sort of setup and idea of how they should manufacture the years ahead and the talent coming through.
Well, yeah, it's very rare for Liverpool to go and spend, say, 30, 40 million on a player who's at the age of, say, 28. If we're going to spend big money, it's, you know, as we've seen with Mane, is he 24? We're looking at that age, really, under 25 years, you know, like where we all pay big money for players. And I don't really understand, you know, when you're analysing, Liverpool haven't been very successful doing that type of thing, though, have they, over the years? We've not really won much, have we? We've not really achieved much in recent times, but that's just the way Liverpool do things. And also, as well, if you look to Klopp, if you analyse when he was Dortmund manager, he very rarely spent that much money. He made players better than what they actually were when he picked them up from such a young age. And I think his biggest signing at Dortmund was Mkhitaryan for about £20 million or something. So, you know, it's hardly massive. So his biggest transfer now is Mane. And, you know, we all know the inflated market that we're dealing with at the moment. And we have probably paid over the odd a little bit for Mane. But when you look at some of the deals that are in the pipeline there, maybe £100 million for Pogba, I mean, it's ridiculous now, isn't it? I mean, Pogba, to me, yeah, he looks a good player. But if United pay £100 million for him, they're probably paying about £40 million over the odds, where most other clubs are paying £10 million over the odds for players. So, you know, that transfer alone is just ridiculous, and it shows you the way football's gone.
It's becoming the norm, though, isn't it? And actually, Liverpool paying maybe a £50 million fee very soon, within the next year, might just become part of the norm, Jay.
Well, that's it. This is what I'm saying. You know, money in football now is absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, people will say Liverpool are overpaying for the Newcastle lad there, Wijnaldum, £25 million. But I seen stuff last night where Everton are potentially going to pay £25 million for Gylfi Sigurdsson. So, you know, they're much of a muchness for me. And, you know, it's slightly overpriced, but that's just what you've got to do nowadays to get these players on board.
Mickey, Sigurdsson?
Yeah, I mean, he's okay. He's, you know, he's got a goal in him, hasn't he, the lad? But I don't think he's sort of, you know, last year he wasn't getting in the Swansea team, was he, from time to time? So, you know, for me, that's a no-no. You know, he would be more of a sort of squad player. I'd like to see maybe, you know, a younger player coming through. But as I say, Sigurdsson, he's got a goal in him, hasn't he? You know, he's half decent to free kicks, but again, it's just a fee. But you look at Jordan Ibe going, you know, he was a Liverpool reserve. Jordan Ibe's just gone for £15 million. So I think the days of transfer fees have been in the, you know, the 3 to 4 million. They seem to have gone, aren't they? I think you're looking at 10 million plus now straight away for a squad player. You know, even Joe Allen there looked like he's off to Stoke, doesn't it, for 13 million who couldn't get in the Liverpool team last year. So, as you say, it's just, we're going to have to get used to these type of figures, I think.
Yeah, and the ones who benefit, the players and the agents at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're the ones. Right, we talk about youth all the time, but Alex Manninger, 39 years old, Jay. They've gone for a veteran, Liverpool, third choice keeper. And it looks like he's going to be announced today. So he's been training at Melwood, but 39 years old. That, you see, it shows it's not all about youngsters.
Well, I think it's quite clever, that move, in all honesty, because he's only going to be third choice. If you look at Karius, he's fairly young, isn't he? I know he had a good season last year in the Bundesliga, but he's fairly young, and he could help him come along, you know, with the experience that he's got. And also as well, I mean, I know at the club they've got high hopes for Danny Ward also, and he's gone out on loan, so that allows him to go out on loan instead of being third choice at Liverpool. So the chances of Manninger playing for Liverpool are very limited indeed. He probably won't play a game for us, really, in proper football. He might play on the tour, but he's not going to really get much game time in as the season goes on, unless we have, you know, really bad injuries in the keeper department. But I think it's quite clever, really, just for his experience, to bring Karius along.
Boys, always appreciate your time. Have a fantastic weekend. Speak to you next week.
All the best, gents.
All the best, lads.
There we go. Mickey and Jay.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.